All right, good to see everybody. For the last about 3 months now, we have been working through 1 Corinthians. And so we have had a steady diet of this correspondence of Paul to the church in Corinth. I mean, a steady diet of this. Every once in a while, when you're on some sort of diet and you're eating the same thing all the time, it may start to taste a little bland. Not saying anything about Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, but for tonight, we're going to try something different. We're going to feast on another section of the Word. And then next Sunday night, we'll be back in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. So tonight, we are going to feast on a story found in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 46. So I guess we'd say we're cheating on our diet of 1 Corinthians for a little while. Before I read Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 46, I just want to mention again, on a day like this, September 11th, that's a day that most of us are going to reflect on those events. Of course, we all talk about where we were when that took place and how it hit us, and perhaps even the source of the news, how we received word about what was taking place, the different emotions that we felt. I mean, that day, I think it rocked all of us to the core. And as I said this morning, I think it was in my prayer, for me as a sophomore in college, it was the first taste of evil. Someone could inflict that kind of pain, or a group of people can inflict that kind of pain, and just to say, yeah, we do live in a very broken world. That's when it first hit me, that just the depth of evil that is part of this side of heaven, right? And this, our broken world's language we use so often to talk about that we see that sin and death are still part of the narrative. Of course, we know that we're awaiting with such excitement and enthusiasm and a hope for Jesus to return and to obliterate that forever. But on this side, we see that it's still prevalent, and it hurts, right? I mean, it hits us, and it's sometimes we don't know what to do with it, especially when there were tragedies of that magnitude. What do? You kind of just takes a while to get your emotions, your feet back underneath you. So our hearts break when we see tragedies in the world. And we know even in this, like right now, different parts of the world, different places, even really within our community, there are people that are hurting because of the evil that is prevalent in our world. I mean, abuse taking place right now. Neglect taking place right now. Systems of injustice are operating right now. And folks are being pushed further and further to the margins of society. But what I want to do this evening is not depress you. I want to say from Mark 10, in the midst of the pain and in the midst of the brokenness, we must continually fix our eyes on Jesus. And so let's do that for a moment now. Mark 10:46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." We can't blame Bartimaeus for shouting. We know that Jesus' reputation preceded him. Bartimaeus apparently knew who Jesus was and knew the type of person that Jesus was, knew that perhaps Jesus could help him, could provide real help for him. Bartimaeus was blind and poor, day after day, sitting by the road, begging. Who knows what people said to Bartimaeus every day as they walked on by. But day after day, there was Bartimaeus begging for help. Verse 48, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he just shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." That leads us to the question, who was it that rebuked Bartimaeus? Was it the disciples? Was it just a group of bystanders that decided to hush him up? And why? Was Bartimaeus really bothering anybody by saying this? Verse 49, Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." We know that Jesus hears the least of these, cares for the least of these, heals the least of these, and in doing so, he reveals the heart of God. Verse 50, so they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. He's calling you. This is the best news that Bartimaeus has ever received. I guarantee that. And you have to wonder what was going through his mind at this moment. He had just been yelling, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And then he was hearing other people yelling, likely, "Be quiet." And now Jesus, the one he's yelling to, he says, "Call him." And they do. "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." He jumped to his feet. Bartimaeus, he understood the gravity of this call, right? Pun intended. He understood it. He jumped to his feet. Verse 51. What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. And this is it's a curious question here. What do you want me, Bartimaeus, to say? I'd like to see, right? I'd like to see. But I think there's more to this question, perhaps, as we think about this and reflect on it. Do you really want to give up begging? Are you ready for a new lot in life? Are you ready for that? Are you prepared to live radically different than you've ever lived before? Are you ready for people, those ones who have mocked you, those ones that have walked on by day after day, perhaps looking over with a snide kind of smile? Are you ready for them to look at you differently? Are you ready to get off the side of the road? The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Bartimaeus had faith. He cried out to Jesus, even when he was told by disciples, some others, he was told to be quiet. Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus. And Jesus said, "Go. Go." And Bartimaeus followed Jesus along the road. And you have to wonder, how long did Bartimaeus follow Jesus? To where did he follow Jesus. If you're comfortable, I encourage you to close your eyes for just a moment. You don't have to. And don't fall asleep. But this would be a good time to sneak in a little nap. Imagine being in the crowd that day. It's hot, dry, and dusty. You're excited. You're with Jesus on the road. How could you not be excited? And here's someone shouting, a beggar. He's shouting at Jesus. He's a nuisance. Be quiet. Be quiet. Examine your own feelings while you're there in the crowd. Then watch as Jesus, seemingly rarely if ever annoyed by the same things that annoy his followers, turns to speak to Bartimaeus. How does that make you feel that Jesus does this? Do you want this beggar to be a part of the group? Do you want him to be in the in crowd? What do you think of Jesus' warm and welcoming words to Bartimaeus? Has he ever spoken to you like that? Now imagine being Bartimaeus, the blind man. We each have something, right? It's maybe not a physical issue, but there's sin in our life. We're all growing in the image of Jesus, but we still have flesh, right? Imagine sitting by the roadside, listening to the crowd. What's all the commotion about? Imagine or examine your own emotions when you discover that Jesus is coming toward you. Call out to him. And when he calls you, drop your things and run to him. And when he asks you what you want him to do, go for it. Tell him. Don't look back at the comforts of being the victim on the side of the road. Ask for freedom. Ask for rescuing. Ask for sight. And when he gives it to you, because we know he has the ability to do so, are you ready, like Bartimaeus, to follow him on the journey, to go where Jesus goes? Now, finally, imagine the story from Jesus' point of view. What was Jesus demonstrating by stopping for the blind man? What do we learn of Jesus? What do we learn about Jesus when we hear him say, call him? Call him. What does it say about the Savior that he heals the man who has spent his life sitting by the side of the road? Okay, if your eyes are closed, you can go ahead and open them at this point. Here's what I imagine. As we follow Jesus down the road, as we go with him, with our friend Bartimaeus, we see Jesus touch the leper, covered in sores, and heals the man. We hear him say, it's the sick that need a doctor, as he's in the midst of sinners and tax collectors. And we're there as well. We smell the perfume that this woman who is just enamored by the Messiah puts on his feet. And Jesus, we hear him say, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown, but whoever has been forgiven little loves little. We taste the bread and cup. Jesus told the disciples about the cup. This is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins, for your sins, for my sins. And we touch the wounds in his hands and side and say, I believe. And we remember the words of the prophets. By his wounds we are healed. Mercy upon mercy pours over us like a waterfall. And I'll ask you this question. I've kind of been thinking about with this, how this hits us personally. But who do you know that needs to understand that Jesus is ready to pour out his mercy on them, just like he did for the blind man. We all, like Bartimaeus, have been healed. I think, I'll speak for myself, sometimes I forget how much mercy has been shown by God through Christ. I'm sure Bartimaeus never forgot. He was blind, and now he sees. He was by the side of the road, and now he's walking along with the Savior. Today we took communion. Mercy and healing came through the cross of Christ. That's the point, right, of 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We live in a hurting world, broken world. The truth is that there are Bartimaeuses all around us. And I think if we start listening, I mean, if we really listen, I think we can start to hear him say, all these Bartimaeuses, I think we can hear him say, Son of David, maybe it's just really quiet. Have mercy on me. They're crying out for mercy. And we know the one who can provide that mercy. Jesus, if you listen, there's homeless people, ones that have been put in that position because of mental illnesses and perhaps conflict. We can never get our minds around. If you listen, crying for mercy, have mercy. Have mercy. A friend that's in need, a friend who's, it seems as if the rug has been pulled out from underneath them over and over again. Like Bartimaeus, have mercy. So David, have mercy on me. Co-workers who are enslaved to debt and in turn enslaved to work. Mercy. Folks in our community that are struggling with sexual struggles, financial struggles, greed, materialism, jealousy. You get the idea, right? All of them. Mercy. Son of David, have mercy on us. I think what I'd like to leave you with this evening, I think it's easy for us to forget what was paid for us. It's easy to forget. The life happens, we get busy, we get to doing all the things that we have to do, and we forget to pay the price that was paid. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who had no sin became sin for us so that we may become the righteousness of God. We forget that we metaphorically were beggars by the side of the road. We were given hope. We were given life from the one, the only one who could provide that mercy, Jesus. And so, as we go now through the rest of this week, this new week, the opportunity to share with others where they can find mercy. People need it. We know where to find it. Let's share it with others. If there's anybody here this evening that desires the prayers of the church family, we would be honored to pray with you or for you tonight. If there's anybody here that is ready to give your life over to Jesus in baptism, we'd love to witness you that tonight. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and continue our time of worship.